It's like that little green bastard once said, do or do not.
Yeah. There is no try.
Do or do not does not mean shit to me, frankly.
I'm going to go smoke weed and live in this swamp.
Smoke weed I'm going to, and in a swamp I will live.
And I. And
I will grow the real Zaza. That loud. Grows great in
smoke
swamp
that
area.
I want to smoke that shit that made Luke a Skywalker.
No, see, now I'm just thinking of the Skywalker named fucking, like, weed that's in the boondocks where Granddad's just floating.
Oh, right. I forgot. Bridget, let me lay this one on you. I want to smoke that shit that made Luke a Skywalker. Anything? Or are you busy starting the recording before you react to it? I said, I want to smoke that shit that made Luke a Skywalker.
Yeah.
Gee. Yeah.
Gee, thanks. I appreciate it. Hi, Bisky. What you doing?
The dog's here, too. Everyone's here.
Bisky's here. She's lying down.
Bisky's here.
Except for the temporarily missing fifth host, Ziggy.
Yeah.
He's chilling.
Soon. Soon he will risk pausing this recording.
We have started to introduce the animals.
We sure have.
And, you know, it's gonna take some time to familiarize them over the next few evenings, but it's
gonna
be okay. I think they're ultimately gonna be okay.
I do think they'll ultimately be okay, because as I've described before, with Bisky being a pit bull, if she wanted to do something that one time, she would have done something.
Yeah. No, she just gave a few licks, and, you know, and then Ziggy, the fine little cat gentleman, was just tolerating it.
Did she give a couple licks?
Yeah. Like, Bisky was
Digging
leaning
out,
in and giving little licks.
It was really sexy.
It was really cute.
What's really sexy?
Don't talk about my fucking cat making out with a dog.
No, it's not weird. Bisky was kissing his feet. It's nothing sexual.
I didn't even remember, like, Bisky getting a... I remember seeing Bisky, like, you know, getting a couple licks out, but I did not remember contact being made.
Just on the tip of the fur, enough to be like, hey, hi.
Meanwhile, Ziggy was like,
What reviews connected by cast or crew deciding the next film, that's the gist. Put it on the list.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Put It on the List, the movie club where every couple of weeks we gather together to watch and discuss a movie.
It's so funny that just like I could feel you be like, alright, put it on, and then go. Like,
what, are you saying I don't always talk like this? I don't talk in a, like, in a
authoritative announcer voice? Not always. Sometimes.
You really get to see the artifice that I put on, like, just slide into place. Like, anyways, this is the movie club where every couple of weeks we gather together to watch. Huh?
We're
movie club
now?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling like, what do you mean?
No, it's not a movie club like a
high school.
Yeah, like a anime high school. It's movie club for trans girly. Like, it's
so we wish we were high school girls, basically. Also,
absolutely not.
Okay, speak for yourself. Look, what I'm saying is, I know this is a visual thing, so no one's going to know. What's going on in the audio recording, but like the way that we're seated around this camera, we look like Vatrushka nesting dolls. Where like you've got like little Evie over there, and then like Jay's a little taller, and I'm like closer to the camera, so you can like
I am
fit us
the shortest one here.
Yeah, you can just fit us all in each other, you know. It's not saying much.
It's so distracting now that I can see it. It's not a thing that translates at all to the audio medium.
I think my favorite thing is if I look at the camera, you all have different lighting. So Jay's like,
yeah, it looks very weird.
We look edited in.
Yeah, it's like Jay looked normal, and like both Bree and I look like we're in Twilight.
Yeah,
like you've got the vampire gene.
What? That I have like the sparkle gene?
Yeah, yeah. You got the skin of the killer.
No, I got the Irish vampire blood. If I go anywhere near the sun, I do not sparkle. I ignite.
You explode.
Yeah.
Anyways. as I've been trying to introduce us, or the movie club, where every couple of weeks we gather together to watch a movie and discuss it, with the catch being each time we gather, we have to connect the previous film to the new film via either cast or crew. Last time on Put It On The List, we watched, speaking of Irish vampires, Ryan Coogler's Sinners, and Bree, you decide to connect
the
us.
The Coogler!
That echoed.
And you connected us via Delroy Lindo once again.
Yes, I did.
This time to Jet Li's The One. Which...
I once again made an escape out the Lindo. And I led us to...
Hey! How long have you been planning that,
that
one?
That just occurred to me,
okay,
actually.
Good job.
But I led us to Jet Li The One. Here's what I knew about this going in. Nothing. I knew that it was kind of a cheesy action flick, and I was like, one of these days I want to get to seeing it. I heard about it when it came out when I was younger, and I'm like, one of these days I want to watch it. I didn't know anything going in, and it was a treat.
It's certainly something. I can guarantee you that much. It's very funny that somehow we usurped Paul Chapman's post on the movie podcast discussing Jet Li's The One completely accidentally. As I will talk about in the Icebreakers, we had a response from one of his co-hosts. However,
yeah, I wonder who that was.
However, before that, how's everyone doing? Evie, you been up to anything?
I've been working. I have a job now.
Yeah?
It's a cool job that I like and I want to keep, so like it's an entirely different dynamic from the last one I had.
However, it's also one where you have to worry about NDAs, so you can't really talk about it too much.
Yeah, it's just for the best if I don't get into specifics.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's cool. I am enjoying that.
Hell yeah.
Just live it.
Word.
She's NDA'd for the new Slurpee flavors. We can't.
That's right.
7-Eleven, let's say they have a little tie-in with a holiday coming up this month.
That's
right.
Have
already passed by the time this comes out.
Cotton candy Slurpee injected into your eyes.
Okay. Bree, what have you been up to?
I've been making friends, meeting our neighbors, getting to know people in the area better. It's been really great. Kind of got a good sense of community. Generally, just getting out more, you know, doing all the art that I'm doing here, you know, working on commissions. It's just my usual jam, just doing stuff.
For sure.
Trying to get back into going to the gym more often. Because I've been very busy, so I just have not, been as on it. And I've definitely been eating a little bit less well.
To be fair, we bought way too much shit for Labor Day.
Yeah.
For like a little like community barbecue we had at our house.
And everyone left the food they brought here too.
Yeah. So we've been eating nothing but cheeses and meats.
Yeah.
Just doing bad things to our bowels at the end of the day. However, it's still delicious.
It is.
I cannot deny the power of those.
And
burgers.
You know what else is delicious? Community and friendship, which we got to. It felt good getting to host something, to have enough room to put on a thing. Felt very adult, which as a 34-year-old woman is a good feeling to finally have. Enough room to host an event, even a small one, is really nice.
It is.
So yeah, that was great.
Bridget, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I mean, it's pretty much the same as last time. I can't say there's been too much new developments. I've been playing Shinobi. That's a cool game.
I don't want to say we've been bereft of, like, experiences, but, like, because all we've been doing lately is just, like, going out and doing stuff, it's like, oh, yeah, I don't have media to talk about. All I can really say is, like, yeah, I went out and did this thing, and it was a good time.
We've caught up with the summer that when Hikaru died. We're caught up with that show.
Yes, we caught up with that one. We caught up with Panty and Stocking, aside from, like, the episode that came out, like, on Friday. City is the only one that we're not all the way caught up with, right?
I think, yeah. Well, I mean, there's also a new episode of Hikaru now by this point, so...
That's fair.
I think I'm still behind on, like, everything by at least one.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Not City. You're... in line with
yeah.
City.
Oh, right. Y'all yeah. waited for me. That's yeah. right. But yeah, no, I mean, Penny and Stocking, I'm not up to date. The other...
I mean, Bree, Evie, you both neglected to mention the thing that we've all been enjoying that we would say said we would talk about this time.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
The Righteous Gemstone.
Oh, yeah, I guess boy. We didn't talk about it last time.
Yeah. God... So, The Righteous Gemstones is the latest project by, like, Danny McBride, Walter Goggins, David Gordon Green, those guys. They've done, like, Vice Principals, they did Eastbound and Down. Very much, like, how would we describe the kinds of shows that they make? Like, adult, like, dramedies, I guess?
It's pretty light on the drama.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's, like
crime thriller comedies?
I guess. Like yeah, I don't know. It's mostly just, like, multicam sitcoms, right? Where it's, like...
Kind of.
Yeah.
But, like, it's...
What if you were watching Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, but everyone in the show was her? Like, basically, everyone is just such a fucking monster, and it's hysterical.
Well, you have to lay the groundwork of why they are all monsters, which is, like, it centers around a family that runs, like, a megachurch.
Yeah.
That, like, in the fiction of the show is, like, the nation's biggest, like, megachurch, like, institute.
Yeah, it is exists. The Walmart of churches.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is, more than anything, it is a scathing indictment of nepotism.
Yeah. Scathing indictment of nepotism, prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
Like, evangelical Christianity writ large. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very funny, and every character on it is pretty much, like, the worst person you've ever met in yeah. your life.
There's specifically a spot in, like, the first season where this one character, like, the sister,
yeah.
who's kind of just been, like, this almost cartoonish buffoon of, like, a girl bully,
yeah.
like, type character, and you've just kind of been like, oh, this... She's so annoying, and she delivers this, like, 5 to 10 minute long monologue about this thing that she did to, like, one of her teachers at some point, and it just opens up, like, a perfect portrait of how she is maybe one of the worst people to ever exist in the world.
Yeah, yes. Just, like, the kind of diatribe that it's just, like, oh my god!
It's just, like, it's so, like, is self-unaware.
Yeah.
Where it is, like, she is telling the story to, like, a guy she's trying to get back with, like, as an example of, like, the other love that she's had in her life.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, oh, this is horrible.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, it's just so funny.
Yes.
Because she just keeps talking
about
it.
Just keeps
yeah.
going.
And the show feels like it is an exercise in, like, the writers trying their best to, like, how much empathy can we squeeze into these characters while still making it, like, impossible to, like, divide them from how fucking awful they are as human beings.
And they walk a hell of a tightrope doing that.
Yeah, like, there's just, like, countless moments of that throughout the show. It's great. It's terrible. There's, yeah. It's mostly a really good show, except for the parts where it gives in to, like, it's, like, that kind of level of comedy's, like, lesser impulses. Like,
yeah.
There is an episode that starts with, like, the epicac, like, someone throwing up, making another person throw up, making another person throw
and
up, like...
just throwing up for a while.
Yeah, and it's maybe the one point in that show where I was watching it, and it was just like, okay, we move on from the bit.
Yeah.
We gotta get out of here. Let's get this fucking train rolling.
I've never understood vomit humor. It's not for me.
But then, like, a few minutes later, like, one of the other characters just walks up to them with, like, a shuriken inexplicably in his head.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's just like, it's...
But yeah, we won't spoil too much, but it's a ride. We definitely
yeah.
recommend checking it out.
I'm excited to see, because at this point we're in the back half of that show, so I'm excited to see where it ends in particular, because it feels like it is very much a show that is, like, kind of mapping what is the eventual, like, just full collapse of this family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like very, it's a very late stage capitalism show in those regards.
Yes. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like, that is the other thing that I kind of mapped onto it, aside from nepotism, is just it being very much about how, like, the, like, people who are, like, fully devoted to, like, capitalism and exponential growth, like, just kind of eventually, like, it becomes this weird, like, inbreeding effect where, like, each, like, following generation of those capitalists just become less and less efficient at the thing it is that they are trying to do because they are raised with everything as opposed to like having to fight to get up to that point.
Yeah. And also like it heavily features like the marriage between like capital and like evangelical Christianity.
Yeah.
Just like how those two forces kind of interact with each other and like support each other. Yeah. And it's fucked up.
Yeah. It's super fucked up, especially in the like the season that we are in right now. It is super about that. But yeah, that's been about what we've been up to. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on, Bridget, or like same old you're saying?
I've started watching Futo P.I., which is the anime sequel to Kamen Rider W, which, if for those who don't know, the thing with this Kamen Rider is he is made with two people, like a fusion.
Oh, so I see.
Before we watched Shin Kamen Rider, like... Mm-hmm. Two episodes of Kamen Rider W were the only Kamen Rider I'd ever seen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where it's just like, oh, it's the one where like the guy goes Joker and the other guy goes Cyclone, yes. And they merge into the one guy and he karate kicks people.
in this one, people become monsters / Kamen Riders by USB sticks placed in the human body.
USB dicks?
Sticks.
Oh, okay. It's the like Discord compression made it sound like USB dicks.
That's right. You gotta get fucked to get your monster powers.
I mean, it's literally two men uniting.
But yeah, it's neat so far. Like Evie said, basically they can switch up their powers between, like, the main one, which is the one where he goes Joker, and... or, like, another one where he just basically has Luffy powers. But yeah, it's interesting. Surprisingly, a lot of the action is not done in CG, and so it is interesting. I will see how I feel about that. It is based off of a manga sequel, so it is not anime original. However, you know, they make a slight reference to the live action show, but so far it hasn't really like drawn attention.
It's more of an illusion than, you know, trying to hyper connect the two.
That's right. Get your USB in you and you can become the road man who vomits up roads.
All right then, I'm gonna take your word on that.
Tokusatsu villains.
Yeah, I was gonna say just a bunch of little freaks all over the house. All right then I guess at this point it's time to go into the listener feedback, the icebreaker questions. We have a question here from Owen who simply asks, what's your favorite number?
69, probably.
Okay. Evie?
42 is one I use a lot.
Oh.
I mean, I don't use a lot.
Oh.
It is a number I like a lot.
It's the answer to the universe.
Yeah, that's why.
The Hitchhiker's.
I read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy at a very young age.
Right out.
Bridget?
Let me see. I think it's... one.
It's the one
loneliest number that you ever known.
But the most powerful.
Mine is 13.
Nice.
I was born on Friday the 13th, so
Like Final Fantasy.
Nope. I've never played Final Fantasy 13, so I have no connection to it.
I haven't even played 7. Like, I watched people play it when I was a kid. I've never actually sat down to play it. In fact, I still go on record as saying I've never actually beaten a Final Fantasy game. I need to sit down and do that at some point.
What about 13 Dead and Dry? Have you ever played that one?
Oh yeah, I played that board game! Yeah, that's fine.
I was usually Brain Dead 13.
What about Friday the 13th, developed by Gunn? Or is that Gunn?
I don't know.
I don't think that's Gunn. I might be wrong.
Yeah, I played that one. I played that one while, like...
How about 13 Sentinels?
Now that's a game.
People love it. SK was recommending it to me when we were talking about 100 Line together.
It's a good game.
Right. No, I know it's a good game! I just haven't played it yet. And then we have an email this time.
Yeah!
Also from Owen. Wait, that's not where the emails are. The emails are here.
Oh, right.
What's the email address?
From wifecitygaming@gmail.com. You can send us your emails there. You can also follow us at putitonthelist.bsky.social. And there you can send us questions too. However, this email that we got says... I dreamt the other day that the four of you were streaming, and Bree said something borderline offensive, and I was trying to get Jay to let me in the Discord call so I could yell at her. You all got annoyed at me for bugging you, so Jay banned me from the channel, and it made me so angry that I woke up. What is your least controversial opinion?
Oh my god.
He also sends a file of Eurythmics' Sweet Dreams.
Nice.
Attached to that.
Fantastic.
We're not going to start with Bree.
I'm trying to genuinely think. Like, we're talking least, yeah.
Yeah, the least controversial opinion that we have. See, that the thing that makes it difficult is because, like, most of the least controversial things that you could say are just, like, actual facts. Like, yeah, the sky is blue. That's my least controversial opinion.
Well, actually, it's not blue. It's the sun is reflecting.
Yeah, it's the...
The other thing is just, like, when it comes to opinions, like, I don't know, everyone has a fucking different opinion on everything sometimes. There's always, like, a large group of people who disagree. But, like, when it comes to, like, the more majority-believed things, you know, like, for... Like, I don't know, like, I think, like, you should enjoy the media that you like.
Here, I'll make it maybe a little... Here's one... Wait, I have an idea to make this a little bit easier. What's your least controversial movie opinion?
I had one that was on a movie opinion, but Bridget said that she had.
So yeah. You go ahead and say the ones that are not movie related. Bridget, go ahead.
Come.
That's not an opinion.
That's not an opinion. That's barely even a statement.
It's either a fluid or a bunch of little swimming solids.
But here's my uncontroversial opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It struck us last night where it's really hard to beat a homemade burger. Like, even compared to, like, restaurant style or whatever, like, if someone has made you a burger on a grill at your place, like with cheese and everything, like, you can't beat it.
That makes me very happy to hear, as the person who's been cooking the burgers on our grill.
There is a legitimate magic to it. Yeah. Like, there is, in the same way that when you go into, like, a museum and look at a painting, there's, like, an aura there. There's a similar aura to, like, burgers when you have a homemade one that's this is the best fucking burger I've ever had.
Good burger.
No.
Compared to Mondo Burger.
No, we're not talking about that.
You cut some red lettuce, you cut up, like, some rings, and you put on just, like, the perfect amount of spicy mustard, and you make it a nice, thick patty, and just, like, oh, man. Like, because they don't need to be made uniform, so you can make them as much, like, this is the burger I want to have, you know? It's more custom in that regard.
Here's a movie opinion that, at the very least, I don't think is that controversial. I think Quentin Tarantino only has, like, two, maybe three max great movies.
I would say that's pretty controversial.
I would, I would say that is controversial. Do you fail?
I don't think that's
job.
Controversial. I think that's just opinionated. Like, it's
well, like I feel like it's the sort of thing
out,
where like
put a non-controversial thing instantly argues.
Kevin Smith movies don't age well. I feel like every time I revisit one, I go, this did less for me.
That's the problem with this.
Home Alone is, you would like Home Alone. That's not, like, we can't be doing...
Like, that's the problem with the prompt, is, like, they're... The least controversial opinions are, like, incredibly boring.
Yeah.
Like, you need, like, the middle-of-the-road controversial opinions. Like, what's your most median controversial opinion in regards to movies?
The Godfather movies are too fucking long.
I mean, at this point, I think you... That's not that controversial because fucking Family Guy has a whole bit about Godfather being overrated.
I'm unaware of it, but I'll take your word on that.
It's, don't worry about it.
Fair enough.
Is Lawrence of Arabia more your speed?
I don't think she's ever seen Lawrence.
No, I just know that there's something with, like, a running horse and, like, a stereoscope. And
Anyways, that's my, like, middle-of-the-road controversial movie take, is, like, I think Quentin Tarantino only has, like, two or three great movies. I think he has plenty of good, like, passable movies. Sure. I just think that, like, he only has a couple of great movies that I'm like, yeah, I want to watch that shit.
Yeah,
like,
that's an interesting answer because it's the sort of thing where it's, like, I feel like a lot of people would, on its face, like, get defensive about it, just like, he's got more than that, and then think about it and be like,
But yeah, that's mine.
Then I have controversial ones about music, like, you know, I don't think Daft Punk made a good full album since Discovery.
That's pretty controversial.
Yeah, that's real fucking controversial.
But wait, what's your, like, either least or, like, at most middle-of-the-road controversial opinion?
I'm confused. Are we doing movies or, like,
like I said, the general one is too hard because it's
it through different...
I'm sorry. I couldn't think of a good, like, least controversial, like, normal opinion to have. All of them are things that I feel like are less opinions and more facts. You know?
Yeah, like, capitalism is bad.
Yeah. Like every human being deserves basic rights
yeah.
and to not die.
So, like, you know, I think we've more than answered this in a way that we
sure.
can...
Here's one.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Hit me.
Movies could use more cats in them.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when no harm is visited upon
animals. Oh, yes.
I've seen cats a number of times, so I agree.
Wrong
with
cats.
Stevie.
What
wrong do you mean?
Cats.
Those are cats!
They're
say in
cats.
The title.
They're people dressed as cats.
But they are
like
cats.
Actual cats.
They're Jellicle
making
cats.
Memories all alone in the moonlight.
Help me. Get me out of here. Bree, this week you had us watch Jet Li's The One. Take us through a cursory rundown.
Do we
of
not
Jet
have
Li's
more comments? Or is that a...
We have a couple of comments, but they're very, like, long ones.
Yeah, we should just get into the film.
Yeah, like...
So, Jet Li in The One. The One is about, and as it's very kind of, like, flatly explained at the beginning with the lore dump... Basically, there are endless fucking universes through which you have many different doppelgangers, and essentially this person decided he doesn't want to have many ones of him in the universe. He goes through wormholes and takes out his, you know, his versions of him in other universes and gains their power. So this guy is, like, running around jumping, punching, and, like, doing crazy shit because he's just getting superpowers by absorbing the energy of the other versions of him in other universes. And it's so cool.
The bolts is not... Hold on.
Okay. The metaphysics of this movie are fucking crazy because it's like There are not endless multiverses.
There's 124 multiverses.
Yeah, there is a very
There's 124 that he exists in.
That's not how multiverses work.
It is. There are universes where the Earth never came to be.
Yeah, like, it's established that's how it works in the movie.
Okay,
yeah,
sure.
Like, there,
well, each one's made by a black hole.
Yeah, every time a black hole opens up, a new one is made, and that facilitates the travel as well. So it's like, so there is a finite but constantly increasing number of universes. And this guy has gone, has found all 120 something versions of himself.
Except for one.
Except for one, who is the heroic Jet Li instead of the villainous Jet Li.
Yeah. You know, so there is villainous, like, villainous Jet Li hunted down Dreadlock Jet Li.
Before we get into that, there is a basically a giant, like, militarized task force of police whose entire job it is to make sure people aren't jumping around causing time havoc.
Which, specifically, the evil Jet Li had been a part of. However, at some point, like, he
decided, oh, this is sick, actually.
Yeah, he killed, for some reason or another, they say it in the movie, I can't remember how
it
happened.
It's like, he had to kill, there were two versions of himself that were about to kill each other, but he had to kill them or something like that.
He had to kill one of his other selves, and by doing so, he fucking Highlandered that guy's power and became stronger and realized, like, oh shit, this rules. I need to kill more versions of me.
Yeah. The concept of this movie is very Highlander.
Yes.
I want to be the one. He wants to be the guy.
Yeah, there can be only one.
Yes.
Except there is not only one, and, like, it is a severe imposition to make sure that you are the only one.
So, like, when watching this movie, my main thing I was thinking of is, like, okay, so if one of you dies in a different universe, do you just automatically get their power?
I think you have to Highlander them.
Yeah, I think you need to go kill them.
Yeah, I think it's the whole thing is that it disseminates the energy inside of your
the
soul
metaphysical particles that come off of your
dead
body.
Yeah, that's the part of the metaphysics of this movie is that it implicitly supposes that inside of a person is, like, a reservoir of energy that gets, like, disseminated to the other versions of you when you are killed. Unless you are killed normally, and then nothing happens.
Yeah. Rescue by the free yourself, pee yourself meme. Fill yourself, kill yourself. Get stronger.
Anyways... Okay, Bree, you said that this movie is so cool, and I feel like Evie and I are now, like, completely justified in how cool we thought Blade was. Like,
I need to rewatch it now.
Yeah, the fact that, like, you two were both kind of like, we aren't really feeling this movie as much. It's just like, no, what do you mean? Look at fucking Blade compared to this movie.
This movie was 4 years after Blade. Well, hold on. I do think that this movie does have, like, a version of coolness that if it syncs up with you, I can understand believing this is the coolest shit you've ever seen.
Like,
it's the most 2000 movie ever.
The first, like, 20 to 30 minutes of this movie are incredible.
Yes.
Like, it is phenomenal because you have, like, old school, like, text crawl with, like, early 3D graphics, like, in the background, like, lore dumping for you. And then you have, like, the sequence of... What's the name of the first... Is it Lawless? Lawless is the first guy that gets killed. We have one universe's version of Jet Li getting escorted out of prison and, like, supposedly getting, like... Is he getting taken away to be executed or just
to
be... I think
he's getting transferred or something?
Yeah, I think
they're something
trying to
like
zip
that.
Him back to his, you know, like... universe, I think.
Yeah, but they're, like, taking him down to the loading dock and throwing him in the back of the prison truck when suddenly, like, someone starts shooting at him.
Yeah, from an air vent.
From inside an air vent, like, and immediately just pops Lawless in the head, and he's dead. And then as the cops are going to, like, examine it, like, he, Evil Jet Li pops out of the air vent and Bodies by Drowning Pool starts playing.
The way that he doesn't just jump out of, like, the air vent, he, like, shoves his hand with a pistol through the,
yeah.
through, like, the metal of the vent.
There's a lot of good peekaboo moments in this movie.
Yeah.
There's that one, and there's later on when Evil Jet Li is in, like, the attic of the, like, hideout attic in Jet Li's house asking for his gun.
We get the, like, sped up slow-mo of him beating up and throwing these guys up in the air while he's zipping around and they're slowly flying away.
The effects of this movie suck.
I love
but
that,
but they're
though.
All so great.
Yeah, yes. There is a charm to, like, old shitty graphics that, like, the, you know, I mean, now with, like, the Marvel era of shit where everything is just like, yeah, who gives a shit? You've got computers, you've got a green screen film, just put your fucking, like, CG in there.
Yeah,
who cares? But where it was
too.
A little bit rougher and you could see the work that went into it and you could see where the wires were, I don't know. I kind of love it.
Comparing it, like, here versus, like, your current Marvel stuff is, like, with the current Marvel stuff, you're seeing, like, stuff that looks bad because, like...
It's too polished.
Yeah, it's not just too polished,
it's
but it's,
not
like,
polished, actually. The
yeah,
problem
it's
is
not
it's rushed.
It's, like, being made... Yeah, it's being rushed, like, by people who aren't getting paid enough, and it, like, it's like, you know, they're cutting corners and, like, trying to get it out the door.
Yeah.
But, like... Here you see people, like, doing the best they can with some with, like, limitations.
Yeah, and that I think is the real beauty of it.
I have it as more of, like, a final note for me, but, like, there's a real, like, magic era in, like, big Hollywood cinema where, like, the stupidest ideas could get, like, so much money pushed behind them and, like, still, like, create a terrible movie, but, like, there's just a magic that cannot be recaptured in, like, how sincere in the stupidity that those things were. Like, watching this, watching Congo, watching Island of Dr. Moreau, like, really, like, cements that in my brain of just, like, God, like, they don't do this anymore.
There's something about this movie where, like, in, you know, the practical effects and, like, the reused sets and, like, just, like, the overall, like, weird sci-fi-ness of it, where it feels like a cheaply made early 90s sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of Future War a little bit.
Like, and that's the other thing.
Like,
oh, sorry, go ahead.
But, like, but in a way where it's charming in that way.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I think that, like, that's another thing that the problem comes in with a lot of, like, modern sci-fi or, like, fantasy is that, like, this doesn't wink at the camera. It fucking commits. It goes, we believe in this fucking vision of this stupid plot, and
we think
are
it's
going
fucking
in.
Cool to make Jet Li fight himself.
Yes, and
like,
it is.
The most, since the... What I would say is, like, the Rosetta Stone for getting this movie or not getting it is there's, like, a scene in the middle where Evil Jet Li is driving around in a car that he's stolen and is, like, going through the radio and he, like, can't find, like, a good station and then he gets to one that has, like, some butt rock ass new metal on it and he stops on that and is like,
he's like, yeah,
this is cool. It's just like, if you see that scene and you laugh at it, you get it.
Yeah.
Like, you, it is translated for you. If you tank that and it does nothing for you, then you will never understand this
the
movie.
The needle drops had us, like, busting up laughing.
That's part
they're
of...
so good.
That's they're part amazing. Of why the first, like, 20 minutes of this are incredible.
Yeah,
you
like,
have the drowning body... The
there's,
drowning
there's
bodies.
The most
I combine the
famous...
two.
Part of this movie is specifically... And frankly, nothing... ever reaches as, like, perfect as that one scene is when his accomplice, I assume that's his wife, right?
I think that's an alternate,
yeah, it's an alternate
universe.
Version of his wife.
Yeah.
Comes in, has a rat with huge balls just walk.
They don't comment on the giant balls.
Well, no,
rat.
Okay, we have to set the scene more because you have to, like, paint the whole picture of it for it to really, like, hit, which is that specifically, like, evil Jet Li has been captured, and essentially they're, like, doing their version of, like, a life sentence, which is sending him to, like, an alternate universe, like, prison world.
Yeah, they're sending him to, like, to jail prison world. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they have him strapped down to the chair, like, almost like an electrical chair, and they're getting ready to teleport him, and he, like, starts delivering this monologue about, like, how he's gonna be the one, how he wants, like, all the power.
Yeah.
And, you know, all while this is going on, she is, like, sat down, and she, like, does, like, a gesture down, like, presses a button down by her shoe, and you see a rat come out of her shoe, and you're like...
Like a little high heel door pops
up. Yeah. Well, and you're like, what the fuck is up with this rat? And then the rat turns around, and you're like, that rat has giant balls!
I didn't even notice
Why does that.
That
rat have giant balls?
It's got, like, a little, like, antenna thing sticking out of it.
It's got, like, a grenade
pin. I thought he was going to help him
out
break out. I thought he was going to, like, I thought that was going to help him pick his way out or something. He was gonna crawl in there.
No, yeah, and but, like he's all the while he is still delivering this monologue.
Yeah.
So you're like trying to focus on what he's saying, but it's like trying to have a conversation with someone, but you notice they have like a booger hanging out of their nose, and you're like, I can't
focus on what you're
like,
saying.
It's too late now because if I tell them, they'll be like, "How long has it been there?" And you didn't say anything.
It's like recently how we were like going to a record store and saw a bunch of people like riding motorcycles and were like trying to have a conversation about like this giant motorcade, and Bree's just suddenly like, wait, what's happening over there? And there's just two pigeons fucking. Like, it's a movie that is just succumbs to like ADHD.
So what happens with
the
that
piece
rat?
Of resistance though is
yeah, the rat, she like detonates the rat, and as soon as she does, it starts with Down with the Sickness.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness!
And it's like, the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my fucking life.
It's so good. Listen, so the soundtrack is Disturbed, Drowning Pool, Godsmack, Papa Roach. This was a time in place, and it's very much a stamp of its time. It's just, oh my, it's so perfect, like, butt rock early sci-fi, like, fucking cheesy,
it's
like...
not early sci-fi.
Not sci-fi, sorry,
early 2000s.
Early
2000s,
yeah. I'm just saying, like, as a film, like, it just so perfectly encapsulates the time that it's in, and it's just... Man, it's too on the nose, and I love it.
So this rat with giant balls explodes.
And
evil Jet Li manages to escape to the last remaining universe that has a version of himself in it. I'm sorry, I can't agree with the metaphysical idea that there's only 124 different universe versions of himself.
I'm not saying that it makes sense. I'm saying that it's wild. It's a wild decision to make. I guess it has to be like, definitively, there are finite versions. There's a finite number of versions of you in order for the concept of the movie to work.
Like, you're not wrong about that. Like, I don't want to take that part away, but it's just, it is one of those weird little picadillos that I specifically have where I'm like,
part of it is just like, in the years since this movie came out, like, the multiverse thing has become like a really more entrenched, like, part of storytelling.
Yeah, sure.
And like, it's way more common for things to be like, there are a billion versions of everything everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this runs directly counter to the idea of everything everywhere all at once, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally. God. Okay, so we have the escape into the other universe, and we are then introduced at that point to the good Jet Li, who's just like
a cop.
Yeah, just an LAPD cop. What is it about the universal energy of Jet Li seems to attract him to being a cop in the universe of the one?
Well,
because he started off as a cop.
This leads to the thing, like, because he was such an anti-authoritarian and wanted power, and these big evil fucking, like, you know, Spaceballs, you know, Starship Troopers.
Oh my god.
We're trying to stop him from doing what he wanted to do and becoming just his own person. I didn't read that he wasn't the protagonist.
Like, I read the whole thing like, yeah, fuck those cops up. Yeah, no one's gonna stop you. You're the master.
You
you're
killed
the
that
one.
Guy.
Let's fucking go. You're the master of your fucking destiny. Even when he, like, fucking, like, you know, like, CG2, like, bicycle smashes the cops with the big motorcycle, like, 3D renders.
Ultimate destruction.
I'm just like, yeah, let's go. Cops up.
I feel like I saw that, like, specific clip, like, so many times, like, in the promotion of this movie when I was a kid, but it never, like, carried forward until I saw this movie for real, for real.
Oh my god, it's so good.
And I do see where Bree's coming from, because, like, the protagonist of the movie, like, the heroic Jet Li, he does have goons.
Yeah.
It's so fun! Why he just has, like, three cops that keep following
around?
Three buddies
who are just, like, you know, you got Tom, Dick, and Larry here.
Yeah.
I hate those Jet Li boys! They drive me to drink!
He just has such a lovable energy. Like, that smirk wins me over. It's like, he's gonna be the one. He's my guy. I'm rooting for him. Wait, what do you mean he's the evil one? He's fighting a cop. That can't be true.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing that I don't like about this movie.
Okay.
What don't like, you like about this movie?
The thing that bums me out about this movie is that there aren't enough shots of just, like, Jet Li doing stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah, there's not enough shots of, like, there's a point, like, at the end of the movie where, like, it's like, all right, time for what you're all finally here to see, which is Jet Li fighting himself.
Yes.
And that part's great. And, like, basically any time where it is like an uninterrupted shot of Jet Li doing the cool Jet Li stuff that Jet Li does.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Like, but there are just so many, like, quick cuts where, like, you don't really get, like, a good shot of him doing stuff, or, like, it's clear that it's just a, like, there's some effects thing going on, or, like, they're cutting to a stunt double or something. Where it's, like, you don't, like, the cool thing about Jet Li is, like, how much of a physical actor he does, and, like, he can... Just, like, the way he moves is so, like, compelling to watch, and it's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
But, like...
This movie does not really give him that. It's
For most of it, yeah.
It's trying to have him, like, act, which is, like, not... It's not great. Basically, anytime this movie slows down, it's kind of a death knell for me. Like, compared to something like A Blade, where, like... Wesley Snipes is just such a general presence, even in, like, normal scenes with him, that, like, it is compelling to watch, versus Jet Li, where, like, him coming home after, like, getting shot by, like, evil universe him, like, he just kind of leaves the hospital at first.
Carla, I don't know how to pronounce her last name.
Gugino?
She's, you know, the various forms of Jet Li's, you know, lover or wife or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, she... kind of does her best, but she is not given, like, basically anything. She just kind of shows up and is murdered, like, and then he has to be like, I gotta get this guy because he killed my wife.
Yes, I don't care if you have to kill me if I kill him. This is what has to be done. And, like, basically the thing that I was gonna say is, like, when he first gets back home, I could not tell that was good Jet Li at first, because, like, the general acting performance that he is giving in this movie, like, it's pretty flat when he is not being, like, very actively the bad guy in a scene.
I will admit, I did think that was just, like, bad him sneaking in.
Yeah, like, that, it's so, I wonder if, like, that's partially supposed to be the effect of that.
I think for a bit in this movie, you're not supposed to know which one's which.
Yeah. But, like, it's so obvious when it is the bad him, though, because he's always got that, like,
he's got
a saucy look on his face.
The bad version of Jet Li is killing it in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to the point where just, like, at the end, when he's like, that's the best part of the movie to me. Sure. Where he, when he's just like,
you are all my bitches.
Yeah, what is essentially
one of the CG Linkin Park like music videos in the background is he's atop an Aztec pyramid.
Yeah, he's atop of a
beating people up for all eternity.
And he's just like whipping people's asses up there. It's just like, it's like a Mortal Kombat cutscene.
Last Resort by Papa Roach plays.
It's so fucking awesome.
That's another thing to point out is like, there is a very, we were all feeling it, a very Mortal Kombat feel to when he's fighting himself.
Yeah.
How they shoot that, not just the movies, but like the games too. It's very like mechanically like, we're going to computer like set this so that like it looks like with the camera, you're going, you know, like, yada-da-da-da in the fucking air, kicking the sky in midair. The shit that's like very clearly you're being suspended by a wire.
Yeah.
Very like sped up, slowed down shit that it's like, I love those effects so much because they're so integral to like the movies I grew up with. That's how shit looked.
There's a like specific je ne sais quoi that's like, there's something about the motions themselves that feels so Mortal Kombat, and I can't put my fucking finger on it, that like really like bridges those two things together.
It has that very like, you know, fantasy like Hollywood-esque like, you know, over dramatic like, you know, actual like martial arts, but like martial arts in like a kung fu movie sort of thing.
I think I know what it is. It's What's specifically that? There's like a kind of almost like weightlessness to it because of like the wire fu aspects of it, but also there is the like raw weight of the hits happening and everything in scenes, and that like,
I think it's the pipe dropping sounds that make it.
Yeah, they do. They use that pipe dropping sound.
They use pipe dropping sound one.
I cannot believe that there is an explosion that happens in this movie. And the
and
pipe
it's
falling
powered
by like, the pipe falling sound. It's so fucking loud. If you know the pipe falling sound, you cannot miss it. It puts a fucking signpost down and says, pipe fall here.
Yeah. Well, one more thing about the fight at the end between the two Jet Lis is like, they do make a point of being like, the way that each one fights is like broadly kind of representative of their personalities.
Yes.
Where like evil Jet Li's movements are like very direct and like, you know, staccato, very like punctuated, while good Jet Li is like, it's all very circular.
Yeah,
and, like,
flowing nature to it. Which like, that's the, it's so hard to parse how I feel about this movie because there are like really, there are strong elements to it, but it
like, I think that whole thing is fun, but it's also very much like, he just kind of like, the evil Jet Li just kind of says for no reason, the quickest way between two points is a straight line.
It's like,
I don't know what that has to do with anything. Oh, sure.
It's like, I mean, you're not wrong, but like, what's the point of this?
Don't eat things off the ground.
So good Jet Li leaves the hospital, goes back to the hospital because his wife is like, you know, you need to get a fucking MRI. You got shot.
Yeah.
Even if it did not actually like break the skin or anything like that, you still got shot. And, you know, we get a nice moment of weird casual transphobia from like the doctor. From like a couple of the doctors who are for some reason just talking about pornography. You want to talk about like a kind of scene that does not happen in movies anymore, where like dudes just are bonding over their fucking jacking material. And it's like, what?
Yeah, just like that. Just like, stop talking to me.
Yeah, leave me alone. I'm just trying to do my job.
It's also worth mentioning that
put the CAT scan in the bag.
I noticed that this hospital was like, I was like, is that the building they use for Sacred Heart and Scrubs? I swear I would know the front of that anywhere. And I looked it up. It is. It's apparently North Hollywood Medical Center, which is a defunct hospital where they like shoot hospital scenes for stuff in Hollywood. So it's the same one. I was just like, that's Sacred Heart. That's, I mean, you're gonna run into Apple Teeny Man here. What are you doing?
Like, part of why like this movie is so hard to parse for me is like, there is a sincerity to it, but like the parts where it's trying to be sincere with like its character arcs are just all so flat. Like the relationship between Jet Li and his wife, and also between Delroy Lindo and Jason Statham in this movie, where like Delroy Lindo is like the veteran cop who's like effectively one day away from retirement. Who's like all by the books, like Jason Statham is constantly wanting to kill the shit out of evil Jet Li, and Delroy Lindo's like, no, we can't do it.
We can't do that. We don't know what would happen.
The surviving cop just what were you saying was like playing kind of like diet what's his name with
Jason Statham's whole thing in this movie is ridiculous, because like this is before he like became Jason Statham as we know him. And so like he is just doing a Bruce Willis impression through this entire movie, and it sounds bad.
Like his face is scrunched trying to put on this accent that it's like, what are you doing?
It's awful.
And they have him describe a lot of the like plot, like a lot of the lore. They have him dump a lot of information in that voice.
That is the most egregious thing that this movie does, is it has Jason Statham do the exposition dump, and I'm just like, I can't understand a single fucking thing.
It would be
you're
one
saying.
Thing if he was delivering that like as just Jason Statham, because like that would be pretty good.
Yeah, sure.
But like him doing it in like this fucking
fake New Yorker accent,
like I'm walking.
John Sleepy Estes.
Oh God, it is. It's that guy.
He's the kind of guy who would like talk over an intercom, but like also put his hand over his mouth, thinking that will make him sound like someone over an intercom. Where it's like you don't need to; it'll do that for you. Like,
oh God. But yeah, it's like the casting director saw a photo of like specifically baby Jason Statham's hairline. It was like, that's Bruce Willis. We have to get him for this movie.
This is a Bruce Willis. It's a Bruce Willis. We need to get him in here.
Listen up, Jason Statham. This is a private matter.
But speaking of hair, we kind of did like skip over it, but like when they're initially looking at all of the versions of Jet Li that he killed, they're putting some wigs on him.
They really had some fun with that.
That montage felt like they were just like, let's just slap some good wigs on Jet Li. And judging from the look on Jet Li's face in all those photos, he was there for it. He's like, sure. I'll put on fake dreadlocks. So, I'll put on a Fabio wig.
I had a thought. So, like, were the dreadlocks written and picked for the movie before they knew that they weren't getting The Rock? And then they just went, you know what? Fuck it. We're going in. We're going in.
Fuck. That's a good question.
That is a good question. It's like, that is something. If you don't know, listener, apparently this movie was originally supposed to be a vehicle for Dwayne The Rock Johnson before they wisely switched gears and made it about Jet Li instead.
Yeah.
God, that would that move. Did
well, talk about alternate universes?
Yeah, that movie would have been fucking awful.
Terrible. Like, the worst fucking movie.
Alternatively, it comes out as a huge success, and like, that's how we get the universe where The Rock becomes the president. he becomes, like, a big thing just, like, a little bit earlier, and then it's like, oh, he's the president now.
Wait, something that strikes me is the main reason that Jet Li goes back to the hospital just to get his gun.
It could be. Because
like so much of the front half of this movie is good Jet Li being like, I gotta get my gun.
I mean, they've also zipped to the universe where President Bush gave Universal.
Oh my God!
There's so much weird, like, alternate history stuff in this. Because, like, the first universe with Lawless in it, like, there's President Al Gore.
Yeah.
And then good Jet Li is in the universe where
President Bush, where it is George W. However, he's enacting universal healthcare.
Just swinging for the fucking
that makes
face.
Sense in no universe.
No. He would have George W. Bush would have sooner sent every poor person to the prison planet.
This bizarre alternate universe. He's like, well, I've got healthcare. I might as well go to the hospital.
Turns out I don't have to open Guantanamo Bay. I found this alternate universe that I can send all the immigrants to.
all of the all of these random people we picked up in Afghanistan based on no reason exactly. We just put them in a hole.
We put them in a hole and they're now fighting on top of a ziggurat for all eternity.
That sucks.
Alternate universe where 9/11 is committed by interdimensional Al-Qaeda. Oh shit, you gotta cut that one.
Oh man. Nope, this is all staying in.
Alright, I'm gonna tell my coworkers to not listen to the one episode.
It's fine. Oh, it's not like you said that any of this was okay.
Oh my lord. This
podcast is not endorsed by Redacted Company.
You know who you are, and it's not. We know.
Moving on from there, but yeah, that was a very funny that it just seems like so much of that first third of the movie is just Jet Li being like, I can't find my gun.
Yeah, there's like a weird thing where just like he is like, oh god, they think I'm insane. I couldn't go back to being a cop anymore. What would I do with my life? And just like, bro, come on.
Not be a cop anymore.
Dude, you're super powered. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
That's also a weird thing. Why is good Jet Li seemingly like almost as strong as the evil Jet Li?
Because what's happening is that the energy is dividing between all the remaining versions of him.
Because any of them were killed.
Wait, but there's no remaining versions of him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So like it's like imagine there were five.
That's what I was saying before. Like, how does it work?
I have like the math equations going in front of my brain trying to.
It's like as the different versions of Jet Li are being killed, like they're taking all the water in him and dividing it out against the remaining number.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So like it's not
okay.
Like a.
Okay.
It only happens because he's killing them, but because he is, it redistributes among the universes. It's explained by fake New York accent Diet Bruce Willis. And
no wonder I couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
Fuck, God. The thing that I did definitely understand from when... Stop distract! I'm trying to make a point here. You're distracting me with the dog in the background. It looks like she just pushed the dog. You did! Bridget, you didn't have to push the dog away. You just didn't need to point at the dog. Hi, aww, Poppy.
Hi, dog.
Hey. Oh, she's got a toy. I can't make my point until.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, there's Poppy being a dog. She's like, oh, it's playtime.
So, like, the thing that I did understand from Jason Statham's exposition
Jason
dump.
Jason Statham.
Exposition dump is he mentions like the idea that there was an alternate universe version of Jet Li that had a husband, and Jet Li scoffs at this. He's like, hey, how dare you suggest I had a husband.
I'm not gay in any universe.
I killed him and I absorbed his gay, and I just like, I said that out loud and I just did like a little like karate chop and then like flicked my wrist down. Like that just becomes a part of his style.
Okay.
It's great.
Having to go through my notes here that I do have.
It's also implied that Jason Statham is, like, from a universe where everybody fights or something.
Is it?
Yeah, because, like, they talk, like, they kind of allude to it in a couple places where he's like, oh, he's from, like, a bad universe. And that's why he's so ready to just, like,
kill.
Gun people down.
Gotta be honest, I don't have much else to say about this movie. It was very funny having the connecting thread of not simply Delroy Lindo, but also the same actor playing himself in like different phases between Michael B. Jordan and Jet Li.
Oh, yeah.
In Sinners and The One. What were you gonna say, Evie?
There's also, so like at the end of the movie, like good Jet Li and evil Jet Li are sent to their respective fates. Bad Jet Li is sent, of course, to the horrible prison planet where he fights a bunch of guys on top of a ziggurat for the end of time. Huh. And good Jet Li is sent to like Mr. Rogers' neighborhood or something.
It is like weirdly like the most chipper version of Los Angeles I have ever seen in my life.
It really does have like a the Wachowski sisters version of Speed Racer level of like high hue.
Yeah.
Like very dialed up.
Saturation.
Saturation.
That's that is more what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Do you think he has to like go and then like read all the history books and stuff to understand what?
I want to see the sequel to this. That's this Jet Li trying
all
to fit
his friends
into
and
this
family just think he's kind of an idiot. Where he's just where they're just like, wait, you don't know about that?
Okay, yeah, but. You don't remember...
You don't know Grippy?
You don't know Grippy?
You don't remember when President Ross Perot enacted universal health care for everyone?
Vice President Jesse Ventura had to punch a guy on the set of
floor. What do you mean, can I afford to see the dentist? What are you talking
like,
about?
It's kind of fucked up. His wife died, and so they're like, here, have a replacement wife who is technically a different person.
Yeah, this is another universe where you're about to save a dog and meet that wife again, and you'll have that spark, but everything's a little different.
Yeah, I mean, except you have the advantage because you've already had a relationship with this woman and she has no fucking idea who you are.
Yeah, it's a very weird dynamic. I will say, on the note of specifically, like, the saturation in the back half, it's almost, like, kind of refreshing. It looks like... I don't think it hit me how much like a Mr. Rogers thing it looked like at that moment, because this movie was filmed at a point where the idea of cinematography was you would wrap blue cellophane over a camera lens and call it done. I wish I could take credit for that joke, but shout outs to Comrade Yui on Letterboxd, who I stole that joke from. But like, you can tell that this was, like, directed by the same guy who did Final Destination. But you know what else he directed? Final Destination 3. And also Dragon Ball Evolution.
Nice.
Which is very funny. Yes.
Dragon Ball Evolution. The thing that made Dragon Ball Super happen.
Yeah. That so damaged the reputation of Dragon Ball in the U.S. that they were like,
It didn't damage. Toriyama was so fucking mad about it that he was like, I'm gonna fucking do it.
I'll make my Dragon Ball sequel. Fuck all y'all bitches.
You guys are
all my bitches now.
It's gonna have blowjob and hookers.
In fact, forget the anime and the hookers. Screw the whole thing.
But yeah, like, I just simply, I can't believe that, Brie, you thought that, like, that Blade had no impact for you, and yet you were like, yeah, the one, this movie is awesome.
I don't know, maybe it's just the place I was in, I don't know, just, this one
I think it probably
fucking
was.
Hit for me.
Like,
I will, to be fair, before the next podcast recording, I will try to get to, like, rewatching Blade.
Ah, God, I don't know if there's anything else I need to talk about. This might be the shortest episode of the podcast.
It's pretty straightforward.
We ever have. Does anyone else have other things to point out about this movie?
I think that Delroy Lindo kind of is like, he doesn't get to do much in this movie.
No.
I think.
No.
Like he kind of has a fight scene. He has a few lines. Like he's just like, oh, you used to be my partner.
He gets 2 days from retirement.
And it's just it's a disappointing use of him. I think.
Congo.
Like that's the thing is we had two knockout Delroy Lindo performances in the last couple movies we watched, and then we have him just not him coasting, but just he does not have much to work with in this movie comparatively. It's a real bummer in that regard.
The main thing I feel about this movie is like kind of like how I just know about this movie is people already kind of take out the best parts of this movie. Like,
this is one of those movies that is maybe better taken in as a cultural artifact as opposed to like actually trying to like be like, ah, yes, cinema. It's like, no,
we used to make movies.
You could just sit down, drink a beer, and watch this movie and be like, ah, yeah, remember that part where the rat with giant balls blew up? That was movies back then.
There's that one shot where, like, they're just, like, the two Jet Lis are in, like, a spark factory.
Oh yeah. My god.
And it got, like, it got kind of blown up by the compression over Discord or whatever. Yeah. Hmm. But it also is just, like, it feels like a lot of that effect was, like, digitally created.
Oh, it's not
like, you know, actual sparks. Mm-hmm. And that kind of made it look a little bit like the sort of thing where just like, ah, if this was like a fully practical effect, this would look incredible. But sure. It's like, it just kind of looks like
I guess that's there too.
Like, it is definitely a movie that is hampered by the fact that The Matrix, like, it is a movie that can only exist because The Matrix came out before it. However, it is like devalued because The Matrix came out before it. Yeah. Like, everyone wanted to be that and they just could not do what the Wachowskis did.
It really does just kind of take me back. Like, movies of this era take me back to that, like, you know, being 10, like going to sci-fi conventions, still being able to stomach fast food and like just chugging that green like Powerade that was branded after like fucking why can't I think of the damn word now? Fucking, The Matrix. The fucking Matrix. I don't know what I thought out of my head. But, like, the fucking green... You remember Matrix Powerade?
No!
I would chug the shit out of that stuff. It was, like, black cherry, like, green apple sort of thing. I don't know, but, like, it takes me back to that innocent time when this was media and we all thought it was badass.
Brie eating a copy of The One and getting, like, the Ratatouille, like, flashback effects.
It's just like that. Got, like, the hints of eating, like, shit.
It's like, yeah, she eats that and then, like, goes back there and then Dracula is playing.
Yeah.
Stay through the ditches.
Oh, man. If only this movie had Dracula in it.
That would be a 10 out of 10. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But, like...
What scene does Dracula go the best over in this movie, if we really think about it?
Oh, man. The car fight?
Like, maybe the car fight? Like, him smacking, like, the
like, when he's like, scanning for a song, like, on the radio? That would have been perfect.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, the only problem is he's not in a cool car when he's in that car. If he had been in, like, a Lamborghini or something like that and he was fiddling with the radio, then Dracula would be perfect. Sure.
I was waiting for a needle drop during the last fight.
Yeah, that's, like...
That might have been where like, Jet Li was exerting creative control and just be like, no.
We can't do... Come on. This is the one scene...
I'm doing my shit.
This is, like, the one scene I get of, like, actual, like, martial arts, like, display happening here, as opposed to him popping out of an MRI machine shooting guns.
Yeah. I also do love the touch that, like, you know, the sidekick guy that he's with, you know, like, pulls out a gun using one of those, like, retracting railings that just like shoots the fucking gun into your hand from your sleeve. I love that stupid bit so much.
I just remember Jet Li in the hospital when the cops mistake him for bad Jet Li and he just keeps saying as he's beating them up, I don't want to hurt you.
Yeah.
I don't want to hurt you.
That was some good Jet Li shit where he was just like trying to like, he was like handcuffing them to each other and stuff. Yeah. Like,
it was very much channeling Jackie Chan like in that moment. Like, that was one of the few moments in the movie that like had a little bit of sauce to it. Like, it realized what it was doing. It's like, okay, this is good. This is a good scene. Yeah. You're cooking here. Fuck, what else? I feel like there's another thing that I remembered in there, but like, you said something, Brie, that like triggered a thing in me that I remembered, but now it's gone. What did you say?
I mentioned like some of the energy kind of feeling like Jackie Chan, feeling like police.
No. Before the thing that I mentioned.
Crap, that would have been like the gun thing with like the retracting.
Yes. Yeah. Remember, the fucking, like, weird communicator device that Jason Statham pulls out, like, 5 times in a row in the final fight. Every time I saw that thing, I was like, yeah! Like,
I want that. Like, here's the thing. That was one of those, like, I couldn't find any evidence of it, but that had to have been, like, they were trying to make that a toy. Like, they had to be like, we need to pull this out so many times just to show it off so that we can make this into, like, a plastic kid's toy.
Because it's very much like a movie that exists, like, right at the nascent era of when, like portable phones were becoming more of a mobile thing. And, like, Jason Statham keeps pulling out, like, a little, like, handheld device that, like, expands out into, like, a disc popping out of his hand that has, like, the Dragon Ball, like, radar on it, effectively.
Basically tracking, like, where all of the black holes and the connections to universes are.
When
and
they're gonna happen and everything.
We couldn't help but think, like, we need to have this in real life so when we're, like, standing in line for donuts or something, we could just whip that out and go, like, God damn it! And just, like, put it away. Like,
the repeated use of it during that final sequence, like, I can tell that they're trying to, like, make you invested in, like, oh, are they gonna make it for to the wormhole in time? It's just like, I just keep looking at how stupid that thing is. It's such a dumb little antiquated sci-fi gadget.
Very Spy Kids looking.
That's a fucking doohickey if I've ever seen one.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay. I remember that was the other thing I needed to remember. Yeah. Aside from that, I genuinely don't think I have anything else to say about this movie.
Well, then, on my...
I guess, final, speak now or forever, hold your peace. Any quick hits in there that we want to touch on?
Oh, no, that was... I talked about how great the ending is with Jet Li fighting on top of a ziggurat.
Bridget, any quick hits or...
Just like Handshakers, this features questionable CG and ziggurats.
I did not know ziggurats were prominently featured in Handshakers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, then, Bree, on to final thoughts. What are your final thoughts about Jet Li's The One?
I mean, as I've kind of already mentioned before, this is, if you are like me, if you're a freak and you love kind of getting that, like, nostalgic rush of, like, good, stupid, like, action, like, that, it's, there's just something about this that really resonates with me. I mean, that was my time. That was my, like, coming of 10 years old and questioning the system moment of my life, where I became this, like, thinking entity with opinions and went, like, man, this is so fucking cool. And, like, that didn't go away for you. You're gonna love this film. It's a fun little romp. I really am glad that we watched this. It was as action-packed as it was just fucking hilarious in its stupidity. I loved it.
Bridget, what are your final thoughts on this one?
I mean, it was okay. The things I liked about the movie, I kind of already, like, had seen those bits through osmosis and the like. And those bits are really good. As you kind of pointed out, like, all of my favorite bits and, like, stuff are kind of in the first half of the movie. And then, like, the fight scene at the end and the ending. But that middle chunk is just, like,
It's not dire, but it leaves something to be desired compared to the rest of it. Evie, final thoughts?
Yeah, I'll echo the notion that it was okay. Like, it was a fun watch. I watched it while high, which was good.
I probably should have done that.
it makes me want to. It made me think, I should watch more movies that have Jet Li in it. Like, I should watch, like, Hero or Cradle to the Grave or some shit.
Yeah. Romeo Must Die.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my final thoughts were the thing that I kind of hit on earlier, which is just, like, more than anything, this movie is, like, really helping cement in me, like, that period of time where it felt like Hollywood would at least, like, take risks on their movies. You don't get, like, The One or Congo or something like that in this day and age. Like, you simply just have IP
as
the avenue for definitely still putting out dumb schlock.
Yeah, like, yeah, wringing out mediocre garbage, but
however,
a recognizable thing they can throw the same money into.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't really hang a movie on someone like Jet Li anymore.
That's another thing, is they just don't have those kinds of things that they like hang on a person to that extent. And
but what about Black Adam, Jay? Black Adam.
But that's still relying on IP with like the DC like comic book universe at that point.
I guess that's true.
Like, that's the thing. The one, regardless of how derivative it is of other things, is still technically an original idea.
Yeah, like, the thing I was kind of getting at is, like, this movie very much feels like Hollywood being like, America, check it out. It's Jet Li. Look at how fucking cool he is.
Yeah.
And then kind of, like, trying to deliver him in a way that is palatable to, like, American audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, kind of maybe not really getting there. And, like, but that is something that they wouldn't even, like, bother trying anymore.
Yeah.
Like, totally. You have someone like Simu Liu, who is, like, who is, you know, he was Shang-Chi in the Marvel stuff. But it's, like, all, like, and, like, that's always something that's, like, we brought someone in to, like, deliver IP to you perform that in a particular way, and not as much a vehicle of, like, here's this guy who can do, like, incredible cool stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, a reason, just, like, a way to, like, deliver that to you. Like, it's a, you know, marked difference in kind of, like, the 25 years since.
Yeah, like, it just puts into stark contrast how much the environment around these things has changed. But speaking of Jet Li, it was my time to choose the movie that we're going to be watching next time. And, you know, I'm sorry that I've broken the Delroy Lindo chain. I was looking.
It's a good run. Three movies all connected by Delroy Lindo.
Broke our Lindo. And I'm going to pay for this.
I'm sure we'll see more Delroy Lindo.
Yeah. Right. I was thinking about The Core, but I felt like that movie would probably just be boring.
Yeah.
Like, would not.
I love that movie, though. That movie's so stupid.
And looking at the rest of Delroy Lindo's catalog, a lot of it was stuff that I'm like, that's not the vibe this cycle. Like, I could have taken us to Malcolm X, but I was like, that doesn't feel right immediately after the one.
Yeah.
So, you know,
watch that, but it's a weird thing to come right after this.
Like, at first, after I broke the Delroy Lindo chain, I was thinking about, like, oh, you know, like, Jet Li, I could connect us to some Jet Li. You know, we could do, like, Cradle to the Grave, we could do Hero, we could do Romeo Must Die, and then I got caught up on, like, Romeo, huh? And, you know, I looked down the cast list, and I found Harriet Sansom Harris, who plays Nurse Besson in The One, one of the hospital workers. And turns out that she was in another 90s movie, Romeo plus Juliet.
All right.
So we're going to be watching next time Baz Luhrmann's Romeo plus Juliet.
Yeah,
I don't even know what this is.
A movie that was a cultural institution in my household growing up. That thing is integral to family upbringing.
Wow. Like, literally, so here's the thing with Romeo plus Juliet. It is an exact adaptation, like, script-wise, of William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Like, they do not change the dialogue. It is the same, except it is set in, like, 90s modern day, like, Venice Beach, basically.
Wow.
Yeah.
So get ready for that.
That's
it's a movie that I've always, like, kind of had an inkling to check out, especially with like how much of a cultural moment that it was in the 90s. I was like, I should watch that.
Sure.
And now is my time. So next time we are watching Romeo plus Juliet. However, in the meantime, Bree, where can people find you on the internet?
You know, I haven't been streaming as much, but you can find my artwork that I've been mainly focusing all my time on vgen.co/asnesbo. That's A-S-N-E-S-B-O. That's basically it. I haven't been doing very much streaming lately.
For sure. Bridget, where can people find you on the internet?
My main place of streaming is twitch.tv/sasquatchless, where you can watch cool things like Amiga porn and Bullet Witch.
Evie, can people find you on the internet?
Nah. Especially not now.
People can find me on the internet, but I'm not going to tell you where you can find me, but I will tell you where you can find the podcast, which that is put it on the list.bsky.social. Please follow us, send us comments, complaints, share us with your friends, put it on the list.neocities.org, wifecityproductions on youtube.com, anywhere major podcasts are sold. Like, comment, subscribe.
Tell us social media things.
Put us on in the background when you're kissing.
What was that, Bridget?
Tell us what you like our review of The One and how it'll be so much better than Paul Chapman's Greatest Movie Ever podcast episode. And also the one where Tom Pandage is also on. Suck it, Tom.
No, don't insult Tom. Tom, I have no beef with you. I don't
There's
really
no
know
reason.
You.
Tom is fine. I slept over his house.
I'm saying, as someone who has Scandalous. Never met Tom, I have no beef with you, Tom, and I'm sorry for stepping on you and Paul's feet accidentally with this podcast.
Speaking of beef, we got a comment on like the Sinners episode where someone was talking about.
I mean, if you want to hash this out like, right now.
Wait, what? And I want to be glad, I don't actually have beef with this person. I'm just doing a segue.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where, like...
Radio Inactive.
Radio Inactive. There. Radio Inactive was saying, like, something that they and, like, their friend who had watched it, they kind of didn't like about Sinners was, like, there was, like, a grounded kind of...
crime thriller.
Yeah, like, the story of the brothers, like, starting up, you know, the juke joint and everything. But the vampire stuff
stepped on the shoes.
Yeah, kind of stepped on that and like sort of imposed on it. Mm-hmm. But it's like that's kind of the point though, where it's just like you can like try to the vampires just sort of like kind of emphasized how doomed the whole venture was, mm-hmm. like. Even if it makes the point where even if the vampires weren't there, the whole thing would have come crashing down because like they were stealing from like the mob.
Yeah, because they're stealing from the mob and the KKK were going to like kill them all regardless. Like it was all fucked from the start.
Yeah, and like the kind of thing about it is like even all of that being the case, they still had like that one night where it was something that was for them.
Yeah, like it's I think the closest thing to like an issue I take with that comment is just the like calling it weird. And it's like, I mean, that's my favorite kind of art though.
Yeah.
is art that is weird.
Yeah.
Like that is where the sauce lies, is with stuff that's like at least a little bit like off center from normality.
Yeah, that's the power of genre fiction, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thank you for leaving that comment.
Yeah, thank you for leaving
that. That is a very thought provoking and well appreciated.
We need to be like
gotta rise out of us so it's a thinker.
Mm-hmm. The Wayne Radio podcast where there's an entire beep remix of Grievances.
What, you mean about chocolate being candy? Or Chuck E. Cheese
a
restaurant?
I'll show you later.
Okay. Well, anyways, bye everyone!
Bye.
We were winding down the podcast.
Yeah, just like...
time to wind... Your get up and go has gone up and went.
Wait, let me sing the outro song.
What reviews connected by cast or crew deciding the next film, that's the gist. Put it on the list. Wow.